You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You've joined us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the bank holiday racing. There's plenty of it on Monday. We've got loads of race meetings from Bath, Beverley, Kempton, Warwick and Windsor domestically. A couple of Irish cards as well from Down Royal and also from Nace. You'll hear all of the action live from 1:20 p.m. on Racing Radio with Gary Capewell, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth in the studio. My name is Sam Norris and joining me on today's edition of the podcast is Paddy Aspall. How are you, Paddy?
Very well, Sam. Thanks.
Good, good stuff. Enjoy the racing on Saturday. It was a good curtain call for the jump season. I thought at Sandown we had some fantastic jumping action at Punchestown, and we're fully into the swing of the flat now. Of course.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic, and I just seen the interview with Minora's owner
with Graham Whateley.
Yeah, TV this morning. It was just
that was great to see. That was
fantastic.
It's what sport and racing is all about.
Yeah, and I mean he has been a proper all-star, and like that was his race, wasn't it? And,
yep.
But yeah, I mean you can imagine, you know, he's not a guy who, what should we say, hasn't had many winners.
Yeah,
he'll have had plenty of success down
here.
Yeah,
sure.
But you know, to see that reaction yesterday, obviously he holds this horse, you know, quite dear to his heart. But no, it was fantastic, and he was going to get retired now and go and live on Dickie Johnson's farm.
Yeah.
It was just a great story, and I mean he didn't just win, he bolted up.
Yeah,
it was a great performance.
Certainly a fantastic round of jumping to win the Oaksy Chase for the fourth year in a row. He's won every running of the Oaksy Chase as well. It's only been going 4 years, and as you said, now Paddy Hill go to Dickie Johnson's farm. Great that the horse retires in one piece, and great to do it and to go out on top as well.
It's not
as if he's had to drop down the grading ladder. He's gone out with a big Grade 2 success.
Yeah, and it just shows another side to this game, because it shows the respect that people have for the horses.
Yes.
And, you know, they could very easily have said, oh, we'll chuck him in the field and make plans, because I think actually Mr. Whateley's wife said that she was keen to come back and run him
right.
in the Charlie Hall. But he said, no, this was it. They were pulling stumps and they were bowing out at the top simply because he had so much relation to this, or so much history, should I say, with this race. So it was very fitting that he won it. And it was a great story, but some very good racing there yesterday. I enjoyed it. And I thought some good performances in the saddle as well, also from Darrell Jacob.
Yes, absolutely. It was cracking stuff at Sandown then, and great to see Minora win that Grade 2 prize once more. A little word on the celebration chase then. Altior getting the better of Special Tiara. It may not have been the strongest Queen Mother Champion chase ever this year, Paddy, given that Duvan disappointed, but what Altior's done in making this year's champion chaser almost made him look fairly moderate the way he's just gone past him. Made him look like a handicapper.
Yeah, he did in a way. I mean, I think, put it this way, if you didn't see the race and you watched them jump the pond fence up to the second last, and then you stop the race, and then you've just played the last 100 yards from the up the running.
Yeah,
you know, it was fantastic, because in between the pond fence and the second last, you know, Nico just had to sit in on him a little bit. Special Tiara was in a lovely rhythm. Norfolk Healy was giving him a peach out in front, and he was getting a great front running right off him as usual. But, yeah, just for two or three strides, he just had to sit into him. But as soon as he's jumped the second last and away from the back of it, it's like he's gone from second gear straight up into fifth.
Yeah.
And the race was over. Unbelievable performance. He's such a classy, classy horse, typical of one of, you know, Henderson's. And just fantastic. And he's just faultless.
Yeah, quick word on Henlon Harry as well, Paddy, who won the Bet365 Gold Cup at Sandown. Bit of a turn up for the books as well. Was a 40-1 chance, and has just outbattled Vita de Rock in the closing stages, who almost collared him. And another good ride from Darrell Jacob on board that one, and a good ride as well, I thought, from Sean Bowen on the winner.
Yeah, it was, and obviously it was, there's no doubt, it was a surprise. He was in there at the foot of the weights and probably on all known form wasn't entitled to win a race like this. So therefore, it just enhances the performance. And but we've seen, you know, Peter Bowen, he's done it time and time again down the years. You know, he can get these real tough chasers and sometimes they can just run above themselves. But, you know, Sean Bowen's a very, very hardy, likeable jockey and he's very capable. And it was a lovely winner for him to ride for his dad, I'm sure.
Yeah. Definitely so. And finally then, just before we move on to take a look at some of Monday's action, we must touch on the racing at Punchestown. And in particular, Paddy, the 350, the Grade 1 Mares Champion Hurdle that went the way of Apple's Jade. Another devastating victory from her. And she's a seriously high-class mare and is bound to be competing right at the very top of the hurdling game against the boys as well next season.
Yeah, visually very, very impressive. You know, very strong to the line because Danny Mullins, was it Danny or Dave Mullins, just looking there, who rode...
I never know which one, DE and DJ.
I know, yeah. I think it might be Dave.
Dave, yeah.
Early Beach put it up to Apple's Jade and almost tried to, I won't say soften her up, but certainly wasn't going to hand it to her on a plate. And, you know, so they got going at each other pretty early and they nicked a few lengths on Ruby and the rest of the field, to be honest. But... you know, from the back of the second last, the acceleration in a matter of strides, it was like what we explained a minute ago about Altior. It was a race-winning move in probably a matter of 10 strides.
Yeah.
And the job was done. But, yeah, like I mentioned a minute ago, just on top of the line, very, very strong. But Gordon Elliott has always held her in very high regard. And, you know, that was a proper performance yesterday and just so, so likeable.
Mm. Definitely. William Mullins has lobbed the kitchen sink at Apples Jade to try and get a beat. It's hypothetical, Paddy, but had Annie Power turned up, do you think Apples Jade still would have come home in front?
Well, look, it's hypothetical, isn't it?
Yes.
And you could be here all day talking about it. But judging that, you know, she took it up from quite a way out, the acceleration she showed being unchallenged. I know she was challenged on the side of the track by Early Beach, and that was fine. And that's what put the pace to the race so quickly. But the fact that she kept quickening unchallenged,
yes,
you know, that's just pure quality. And it was a breathtaking performance, really. And it would have been very interesting had Willie's star mare turned up, but she didn't. So it's not really a case to answer, is it?
Yeah, indeed. And we may never see that battle develop now. Do you think we've possibly seen the last of Annie Power on a racetrack?
I think she's been very touch and go now for a while. Unfortunately, she's obviously had her niggles and she's been delicate to train and whatnot. But it'd be great to see her again. But who knows?
Definitely. Let's move on then to take a look at some of Monday's races. We've got a couple at Windsor, one at Nace, and one over the obstacles at Kempton to take a look at. And hopefully, Paddy can point you in the direction of a winner or two. We start at Windsor with the 2:35. Got a 6 furlong handicap upcoming here. A field of 10. Going to post at time of recording for this Class 4 contest. What did you make of this one, first of all, Paddy?
I liked Pretty Bubbles here, mare of John Jenkins. It's a mare I've ridden a few times. I won in her on the all-weather at Kempton. Now, she's very, very honest, very genuine. But that said, because she always turns up, I mean, her form figures, second, fifth, third, she always has very, very little room to play with handicap wise because the handicapper knows exactly where he's got her. She's 8 years old, he knows plenty about her, but she is a real honest to God mare. She likes Windsor, she's a C&D winner, and I just thought it was a trappy event. I mean, King of Spin of Richard Hughes is in there, 8 stone 12, and he is a 4 year old, very lightly raced, but we've not seen him for 233 days, so he's got that question to answer. Whereas we know that Pretty Bubbles, we've seen her a week ago finishing third, she's fit and healthy. And I mean, draw doesn't really matter to her because the biggest point for Pretty, or the biggest factor, should I say, for Pretty Bubbles is as long as there's a little bit of pace to aim at, she loves to run into a race. So if the fractions are decent up front and Fergus Sweeney can just get in amongst them, she loves to come through horses and just arrive on the scene late. She doesn't want to be on the scene too early, but if he can produce her fairly late in the day, she'll go down fighting, I can assure you. And hopefully she can win there. She's a mare I do really like, and I know John Jenkins is absolutely mad about this little mare.
Okay, Pretty Bubbles gets the nod then in the 2:35 at Windsor for Paddy. We stay at Windsor then, just over an hour later, the 3:45 is upcoming. What a handicap here. Over a mile. It's a Class 3 event and there are 11 runners down to contest this one. What were your thoughts on this handicap?
Yeah, another little one where there was maybe one or two fly in the ointment with Wind in My Sails. Ed the Giles' book, James Dahl, to ride. He's only a five-year-old. Hasn't got many miles on the clock, to be honest. And, you know, so I thought he's a C&D winner as well. It's his seasonal reappearance. We've not seen that chap for 226 days, but I was going to take a chance on the old boy at the top, Highland Calori.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 9-year-old. Obviously, similar comments apply to him as Pretty Bubbles. You know, we know plenty about him. He's been there and got the T-shirt, but very, very capable, this horse. And like I said, he is a course and distance winner. And I just thought, probably on the whole, he landed on a fairly uncompetitive event, unless the likes of the one I mentioned of Ed the Giles was fit and ready to go. But like I said, it's over a 200-plus day break, so it'll be a good train performance if that can happen. But although he's 9-year-old now, he's rated 97. He's got to give weight away to the whole field. He has won off a mark of 95 just last year at York. You know, he's a 9-times winner. He's very, very capable, knows how to win, and he's been a good stable stalwart for the Baldings down the year. And I'd like to see him get back on the winning thread here tomorrow off top weight.
Highland Calori, the choice in the 3:45 at Windsor. Then we go across the Irish Sea for the feature race at Naas then on Monday. This is the 3:55. It's the Moresbridge Stakes, a Group 2 over a mile and a quarter. Just to feel the five going to post. And all eyes here, Paddy, will be on Minding for Aidan O'Brien, who's been kept in training as a four-year-old. She was a real superstar at three. Of course, the question is, Paddy, is she going to be fit and firing first time up? They don't all seem to be, the Aidan O'Brien runners.
No, that's very true. It's very true. But to be honest, whether she's going to need to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
She's so well into the weights here. The next behind her, she's 1-2-2. The next behind her is 6 pounds below, and she's racing off level. So, and some of the others are you know, obviously even further adrift than that. But obviously, he's a pretty decent horse up the top of Geraldine's Brendan Bracken. But you know, he's stepping into, you know, fresh waters here as well, and
yep,
he's going up in grade. But you know, he's a progressive type. There's no doubt, and Geraldine's is stable. Are you know, the rock and rolling quite good, and they've hit the ground running so far. So I mean, I wouldn't underestimate him. You know, I mean, like I said, this is a big step up, but you just wouldn't know. And like you said about Minding and just the Aidan O'Brien team in general, whether they're, you know, just cherry ripe first time, we're not so sure yet. But it's such early days, it's probably unfair to sort of really have a serious opinion on it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a great prize on offer here. It's a pity we're you know, two of the field are Aidan O'Brien's and one is Joseph O'Brien's, and we've only got five numbers. But like I say, 76 grand on offer to the winner. But yeah, you would have that concern at the back of your mind regarding whether they're just forward enough. But I think on pure natural ability, I mean, these are calmer waters for Minding, and you'd be absolutely devastated if she couldn't get her season off to a winning start here.
Okay, Minding the selection then in the Group 2 feature at Naas. The final race on today's podcast then comes from Kempton. A bit of jumps action to close the podcast. The 5:15 is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. Only a field of five going down here as well, but there's a good pot on offer, Paddy, and this is a decent quintet that go to post.
Yeah, certainly, and like you said, real good prize on offer, but you know, we've got probably two, maybe three horses that are on the crest of a wave right now.
Yep.
And you know, the trainers are looking to strike while they are on top. But I'm always keen on horses that are on the improve, that are getting weight. And although we know enough about Meldrum Lad, because he's 8-year-old, he's not actually over raced, but just recently he's really got it together. I mean, he's going to have to up his game again here because he's got a penalty. But the handicapper has actually left him on, because connections are turning him out pretty quick at Wincanton off 118. You know, really at the weights, he's fairly competitively in here, I think. And I think it's a good bit of race spotting by Seamus Durack. He's been around some big tracks as well. Wincanton did make one bad mistake around there the last, but on the whole, he was pretty good. And, you know, he was a very, very decisive winner. and he's a horse really on the improve. Whether he's as classy as one or two above him, I don't know, but I think at the weights, I would give him a real, real competitive chance here.
Okay, great stuff. Thank you very much for that, Paddy. Do remember to tune in to Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. on Bank Holiday Monday with Gary Capewell, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth guiding you through the racing at Bath, Beverley, Kempton, Warwick and Windsor domestically with Dan Royal and Nace over in Ireland. Thanks for that, Paddy. Enjoy the action on Monday and best of luck.
No problem. Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.